You know, a lot of times when man is communicating, whether it's at work or just among anybody, sometimes the communication breaks down, and it causes problems when that happens. So I want to give you an example of a breakdown in communication. It's actually happened twice. As you know, me and Trevor and Anita, Thomas went with this year, we always end up once a year up on Appalachian Trail. And two different times, we've had a breakdown in communication. Once was this year. I'm not going to tell what happened this year, because it would take too long. But I'll tell you what the end result was. The end result was, in Southern Virginia, in Grayson Highlands National State Park, we were waiting on Anita in a parking lot. She was at another parking lot waiting on us. And it was mine and Trevor's fault, mostly Trevor's. But, The other time, and I will tell you about this one, this was a few years ago. I don't know where we were at. Seemed like we might have been in Georgia on that thing, but it was cold. It was hurting you cold. And we started out that morning, and there's some little lean-to shelters they have built along the way, every 7, 8, sometimes 10 miles apart. And there was one 4 or 5 miles up the line, and we decided that we'll pull off there and get a bite to eat and go on. Well, we leave, and me and Trevor got a little ahead of Anita. We pull off at the shelter, and, you know, 20 minutes comes and goes, 30 minutes. So now we're wondering where she's at. 40 minutes, and we decided we had to move. We were freezing. So at this point, we think something's happened. So we decided Trevor would go backwards the way we came. I'd head the other way. And who knows, he may not see me again till in the morning at the other side. He's going to head back toward the car. Well, that's what we done. And in about 45 minutes or so, I come up on Anita. And she was like, well, how'd you get behind me? I said, well, we pulled off at the shelter. We were all going to stop. She said, well, I didn't know he was going to stop. And she didn't know it. Me and Trevor had the conversation. She was in the vicinity of us doing something, getting something ready, I guess. And we thought she heard us. She didn't hear us. So it always causes problems. That particular day, it caused Trevor to walk probably an extra 5 miles because he had to come back. So a breakdown in communication always causes trouble, problems. To me, the most glaring example of a communication trouble in the Old Testament is after the flood, sometime after the flood, quite a long time, I guess. It's when man decided on their own that they would build a tower and a great city. They'd make a name for themselves. When God put a stop to that, when he made it impossible for them to communicate with one another. By removing their ability to communicate, he removed their ability to work together. They couldn't get any work done anymore. So I thought about that a little bit as an application to the local congregation. When there's a breakdown in communication in a congregation, it's trouble. No work can get done. That's what's going to happen. We can't work together. In the example of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11:8, as a result of the communication barrier, 11:8 says that they stopped building the city. The work was stopped. And that's what would happen at a local congregation if there's no communication present. Communication can be the fault of the one commuting the message, or it could be the fault of the one listening to the message not listening well. Nevertheless, it's communication problems, and so it's important that we have proper communication with one another, especially as we serve God in the in this local congregation. And I think we do here. But I was just using it as an example. Things can go bad without proper communication. Most importantly, though, is God's communication to us. And He's communicated to us with His Word. And we have His Word. And when there is a problem in that communication, it's not God's fault. It's always man's fault for not listening, for not studying, for not paying close attention to God's Word. It's never God's fault that what He wants to tell us doesn't get to us. It's our fault every time. In John 8:43, Jesus was speaking to some Jews, and He asked a question. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? Well, He answers His own question by saying it's because you can't hear my word. They weren't listening. They didn't want to understand. Wasn't important enough as it should be. That's what they were doing. That's the reason they didn't understand what He was saying. They wasn't listening. James 1:19 tells us to be swift to hear. That is, to desire to hear, understand God's Word. To be full attention, to have full attention when we're studying God's Word. Make it of the utmost importance. And that's how we receive God's communication, being interested in God's Word. David said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet." What he's saying is, "Your word is my guide." And people will say that today and believe it, I guess. I say, "Well, God's word is my guide." And yet know very little about the Scripture. So that's not the truth when they say that. Whether it's intentionally not the truth or not, but it's not the truth. Or they'll say, "God's Word is my guide," and yet they listen to some man. And I mean, an example would be how God has told us to receive salvation. They say, "God's Word is my guide," but some man tells them that salvation is achieved in some different way, and they listen to the man. What they need to be saying about themselves, looking at the person that told them the error, they should be saying, "Your word is my guide," not God's word. But that's the way it is. The way I see it, we communicate with one another three different ways. That's by telling someone something, showing them, or implying it. Well, God's Word communicates to us those very same ways. Commandments, examples, and then with necessary inference. It's the same way. Except for sometimes when we're doing the communicating, we don't do it properly. Well, God's done it properly. We don't have to worry about that. It's almost like people that listen to man over God's word think that God's not communicated properly, and so this man can better tell us about it. It's not true. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "We live by what proceeds from the mouth of God." So that's how important it is to understand God's communication to us. To listen to what He said. To know how He has us to live. Those words are important in this verse to remember. That's how important it is. And those are words that people don't adhere to. These days anyway, it seems to me like they don't have reverence for God's Word. They don't seem to think it's that important. We can do it anyway. Breakdown in communication on man's part. So God has communicated to us how we are to receive salvation. And that is, hear His Word, listen to it, understand it, believe it, and then repent of sins, that is to change, and do what God has instructed us to do. Confess Christ before men, and then be baptized into Christ for remission of sins. So if someone's here tonight and has not obeyed the gospel, we invite you to do that now, at any time. But as our tradition here, we use this as an opportunity to do that. And we'll sing a song. And if that's your need, we hope that you would respond even tonight.